Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Are you glad to be here?
Yes.
Well, turn to two people and say, I'm glad you're here. Amen. Amen. I'm glad you're here. It's good to see David Sowden. David, it's good to see you. And I've got two things I need to do before I get into the message. One is there someone here that your vocal cord you're having problems with your voice? Is there anybody here? Okay, stand to your feet. That's for you. Something's going on with your vocal cord, something's going on with your voice. Okay. All right. Okay, let's pray for these. You know, words of knowledge comes, but I don't, you know, you just have to let him say what he wants to say. And then you see these people, and that's the reason he brings it up. He wants to bring healing to their lives. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we just ask you to touch these that are standing. Lord, their vocal cords need to be full operation that they can use their voice for your glory. So as they're standing, Lord, empower them to be healed in their vocal cord. Lord, let their voice be strong. Let their voice be precise in what you're saying. Lord, that they may give glory to you with their words without pain or without struggle. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. One more. God bless you. One more. Is there anybody, you have some kind of pain in your right side, somewhere right in here? Does anybody have any pain in the right side right here? Okay, stand to your feet. Okay. Any more? All right, so let's pray for these. Father, we don't know what's going on, but you know. Matter of fact, you brought attention to it this morning. So, Father, we just ask you right now by the power of your Holy Spirit to touch their side. Lord, if there's any cramps, any things of being pulled or anything that is not of you, God, we just ask you right now to bring healing to their right side. Lord, let them have pain-free feeling in their right side. Bring wholeness to them. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Those are the two things that I know I'm supposed to do. So, God's good, isn't he? God's good. Amen. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about today what's going on and who's got this? Who has this? You know, in our culture today, by the way, ushers, I'm going to need the plates at the end of the service. So if you'll make sure you get those ready. And I'll go ahead and tell you, don't let me forget it. We've had five people from this church that's going to Mexico in a couple of weeks to help the mission field there. And we want to sow into them. Amen. Okay? So that's part of our, they need our prayers, but we can support them too. Amen? So we're going to do that toward the end of the service. But in our culture today, we're accelerating very quickly in the opposite direction of God. Because that's what the world does. The world does not want to involve itself in the things of God. They go the opposite direction of God. Excuse me, in his kingdom. But there's a lot of people that's been taken in and drawn in and taken into captivity because of this allurement of humanistic culture. This thing about this philosophy of humanism. In other words, we're going to cater that way and let man take care of everything instead of depending on God. And we'll make the decisions of whether it needs to be done or not instead of God making the decisions. And it's a battle. It truly is. And the reason it's a battle is because this thing of this humanistic philosophy has been so well packaged. Are you hearing me? That it presents itself as this is the way of God. This is the best way. This is the way that it needs to be done. You don't need God. You really need to follow this presentation of life. And some people are taken in by it because they're misrepresenting what God is saying, because they're raising up man and raising up man's ways, and people are falling prey to that's their only hope. And then when that doesn't work out, there's so much desperation that all they have left is God. Well, you know, I told you the other week, when someone begins to bring up that this world is bad, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad, your response, your first response should be what? What? But God. Your response, my response, but God. Yeah, all of this is going on. Now say, but God. Say it loud. One more time. But God. Yeah, you get this. I see this. I see all the stuff that's happening. I see the package that they're delivering. But God. So God has a plan, and his plan is working, and his plan will not fail. Say, his plan will not fail. And you are in his plan. Amen. We're in the plan of God. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus came to the disciples and said, see to it that no one misleads you. See, there's a lot of things misleading people today. He said, but see to it that no one misleads you. No one misleads you. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and they will mislead many. A lot of people say, they'll come up and say, well, I'm Jesus, or I'm... That's really not the fullness of this passage, of the meaning. It's actually saying what I'm giving you is really what you need to hear. I'm coming. It says they'll come in the name of the Lord. They'll come in the name, in his name, which means they may call themselves Christians, but they're not. They're coming in his name. And they'll make a presentation that will be misleading. You understand what I'm saying? See to it. Jesus said, see to it, no one misleads you. And then in verse 10 of that chapter 24 of Matthew, it says, and at that time, many will fall away. You know, that fall away says they'll be offended. Many will be offended. Say that. Many will be offended. Now say, I'm not one of them.
I'm not one of them.
And if you are offended, get over it. If you are offended, ask God to forgive you for being offended and start loving people. You can't pray for people if you're offended at them. You can't minister to people if you're offended. You can go through the motions, but the heart won't be in it. And Jesus said, that's the way worship is. If your heart's not in it, whatever you're doing is just empty and void. Even if you want to call it worship, if your heart's not in it, if your heart's far from me, you can't do anything. It's just a form and all. But he said, many will be offended, and they will deliver up. They'll be so bothered and offended each other that they'll just attack each other. Is any of that going on in the church? Yeah. You know, we've got to get over this. We've got to go beyond this. He said, but man, Jesus word, many will be offended, and they'll start attacking each other. Verse 11, and many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. We only think that false prophets are in the church. No, they're in the media. Are you hearing me? They're in the media. They're in government. They're everywhere. They're false prophets. Well, you've got to go to church to find a false prophet. Nope. That's a fallacy of thinking. So there's a lot of people bringing up, okay, this is going to be the future. This is going to be the future. And it ain't God. It's not him. Are you hearing me? So when they're producing all of this and saying all of this to create fear and anxiety. Anytime you're fearful and you're anxious, you're controllable. And they won't control. So he said, many, and they'll arise and they'll mislead many. And because of this, lawlessness will be increased. Lawlessness will be increased, and from this, most people's love will grow cold. I think King James Verse said, "Will wax cold." In other words, a lot of wax that's gotten cold, it stops running. There's no movement in it. Lawlessness. Everybody say lawlessness. Do you think lawlessness has increased? There's so much disrespect to the law that it's not even at that place in this world, but God. You know, but see, God's got this under control. He's in charge. God is in charge. That's the reason we call him Master. That's the reason we call him Lord. He's got this. We just need to be aligned with him. You hear me? All right, so it says that lawlessness will increase, and because of that, we will not have the ability to love people. It says most people. A lot of people will not have the ability to love people because it'll be grown cold. That's not what the world needs. The world does not need offended Christians that can't love others. Or Christians that because we're seeing all this disrespect for the law, all of a sudden we can't love them. Okay. I got one amen. I don't know who that was, but I really do appreciate it. Lawlessness has increased. Most people's love will grow cold. And he said, but he who endures to the end will be saved. Colossians 2:8 says this. See, this is the but God. But God, Jesus said, I've warned you. I'm telling you this. Well, this is happening. This is happening. He said, but be alerted to it. Be aware of it and see to it that no one misleads you. Colossians 2:8 says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy, empty deception, according to the traditions of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. What is he saying? He said, see to it. Look to your neighbor and say, see to it. You got to see to this. This is not something that just, okay, I'll wait for it to happen. No, see to it. See to it that you are not taken captive. You're not captivated by all this stuff that the world is offering. The philosophy that is not about Christ, the empty deception, the traditions of men. In other words, I'm going to raise up what we do, this is this humanistic value. So, okay, we're going to bring this above God. That's what the Pharisees did. That's all their traditions of men and their doctrines. They pulled it above the word of God and placed it above God's word. No, we're going to follow this. Well, that's not what the Bible says, but that's what we say. It's not what the Bible says, you know, to ordain people that are not right with God. Are you hearing me? But we're not following that. We're going to follow this. Why? Because that's the package that we're selling. Because we don't want to make anybody mad. Listen, do you know when you follow Christ, you will make people mad? The truth will cause people to be offended because they don't want to hear the what? Truth. But we're speakers of what? Truth. All right, truth in love, right. All right, James, he said, you, instead of having all of this, and then the principles of the world, there's a lot of principles that are worldly. He says, you need to see to it that you don't fall trapped to these. He said, but you don't need to fall into these things. You need to be see to it that you are in what God is saying rather than according to the word of Christ. Follow his word. His word's true. What you may be hearing out here, and it may be coming from someone that is a minister or a Christian, but they're not speaking God's word. That's the reason it's so important to say what God is saying, not say what man is saying, not saying what the culture is saying. Y'all with me? James 4:4 says this, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Anytime you want to be friendly, listen to this. You want to develop a friendship because you want you to be liked and you want them to be liked. When you develop friendship to the worldliness, he said you're hostile toward God. I didn't say that. The Bible said that. So that these packages that are being formed out of philosophy and these other things that we want everybody to feel this. You know, well, Fine. We're always commanded to love people. Yes? You're commanded to love. We should love everybody, even our enemies. Love them. Is that true?
Yes.
But you don't have to be friends to what they do. Their system of living, their system of thinking, their system, you don't have to be friends to that. You can be the one to speak truth to it. They may get mad at you and unfriend you. Or block you. Y'all know what I'm getting at, right? Or unblock you or unfriend you. So that, you know, look, I just want my opinion to be valued. I don't need anybody else's opinion to be valued. I just want mine. If you don't agree with me, I'll unfriend you. He said, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Being a friend to the worldly system, you're an enemy of God. But I thought, Pastor Terry, I thought you said the other day that we're God's friend and he's our friend. That is true. But anytime you and I begin to play patty cake with the world, we're hostile toward God at that moment. We're hostile toward God and we become an enemy to him. So he said, take care of these things. Make sure you don't fall prey to these. So, but we are rapidly coming to a place in our society that we can no longer win them through intellectual arguments. We're not smart enough. We're not smart enough to intellectually argue them into the ways of God. Can't do that. They're solid in what they think. They know nobody's going to tell me any different. And matter of fact, if you don't agree with me, you're a racist. As a matter of fact, if you don't agree with me, you're a bigot. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You won't win intellectual arguments with them. So don't engage intellectually. What are we going to have then? The power of God operating in your life. Words of God in full operation in your life. But God, here's what God is doing to counter the society. I'm telling you, he is building his church. He is building his church. All churches are not being built by him. But he's building his. Some churches are being built by denominations, by men. Are you hearing me? In other words, that's the foundation of their beginning. No, he said, I will build my church. This is in Matthew. I want you to look at this. Matthew 16, he said, he began asking the disciples, said, who do men say that I am, that the Son of Man is? And that some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. We think he's a real important person. We think he knows about God. We think he may even hear from God. The people feel that about Jesus. Oh, yeah, he was a prophet. You know, and then Jesus, so the comparison comes up. Who do they say I am? Then he says this, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art, he didn't say thou art Christ. He said, thou art the Christ, the anointed one. You are the anointed one. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. But watch this. Jesus turned and looked at him and said, blessed are you. Blessed are you. No, this thing about this blessed right here, he said, you are spiritually prosperous. You are in a place of being spiritually prosperous. Why is that? He said, you're spiritually prosperous, Simon Bar-Jonah, which is son of Jonah. Because flesh and blood, man did not reveal. Say the word reveal. Man did not reveal this to you. Well, who did? But my Father who is in heaven. Then he says, in other words, this word that he got didn't come from man, and it really didn't come from Jesus. It came from the Father. The Father spoke to Peter. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. See, that's revelation. Revelation is when the veil is pulled back, and you're able to see things you've never seen before. You're able to hear things that you've never heard before. That's revelation. And we have to have that. And he goes on, he says, he said, but I say to you, now watch this, the Father's already spoken to you. And he says, I also say. So Jesus is now speaking and giving him something that he does not know. And what is that? Watch this. He said, and I say to you, so Father's spoken to him. Now Jesus is speaking to him, not just talking to him. Jesus is speaking pointedly to him. He said, that you are Peter. You are Petros. You are Little Rock. You are a little rock. You're a little stone, something that man can pick up and throw. Then he says, you're Peter. You're Petros. You're a little rock. And upon this rock, two different words. This is Petra. This is this boulder, this mountain range, this mountain of a rock. Upon this rock, I will build my church. So he said, it's not on Peter, and it's not on the smallness of who Peter is. That's Petros. That's little rock. Matter of fact, that is masculine gender in the Greek. Doesn't matter, but it does. That's masculine, what is pointing to Peter. That's this other one that says, I will, upon this rock, that is feminine in gender. I wonder why. Anybody want to take a wild guess why that would be feminine talking about us? Who, what? We're the bride of Christ. Man, I tell you, when you see all this stuff, it just excites me. It really says, okay, he said, I'll build my rock, but it's going to be on a mountain. And he said, and the gates of hell will not overpower it. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. The gates of hell has no impact upon my church that I'm building. All this stuff that we talked about at the beginning, what's God's plan? A church that he has built that won't back down from the forces of hell. No matter what hell is spitting out, no matter what hell is putting out as far as the packages, no matter how it's packaged, my church will prevail against it. My church will not be overwhelmed by it. Now, when you look at this, see, this revelation is to pull back what is unknown. But see, there's a comparison to what Jesus is saying here. There's a comparison over in Micah 4. And I want you to see this. Micah 4, verses 1 and 2. And it will come about in the last days. Say in the last days. In the last days. It will come about in the last days that the mountain of the house of the Lord, the mountain of the house of the Lord, will be established as the chief of all other mountains. Now, when you start breaking that down, it says this mountain is this place, this word mountain, it is his presence and his word. Now, Moses and Joshua, they had to go up what? To seek to visit with God. They had to go up the mountain. We don't do that today. Who is the mountain? Okay, we'll get there. Where does he see? He dwelled in the mountain when they went up to see God. He dwelled in the mountain. Where does he dwell today? Come on, talk to me. So who's the mountains of the house of the Lord? Who's the house of the Lord? We are. This thing about house of the Lord, that word means it's a family, his dwelling place, his church. His family, his dwelling place, his church. See, upon this, God said, Jesus, I'm building this. Now, here's the question. Do you want to be built by Jesus? Well, you've got to be surrendered, and you've got to follow him, and not the ways of the world. So he says, okay. He said, so this is my, by the way, it's a place of rest. Watch this. When Noah went out in the ark, when the water receded, where did it land? On a mountain. It, watch this. It came to rest. The Bible says it came to rest on a mountain. After, watch this, after deliverance, after you are delivered, after you have a deliverance in your life, rest comes. After you have deliverance in your life, rest comes. That's the way of God. You know why I know that? Man was created on what day? Which day was he created? Six. Six is the number of man. Man is created on the sixth day, right? What's his first day? What day is it on his first day after being created? What day is it? It's number what? Number six. Whew. We will be starting math classes next week. I'm messing with you. I know I pulled y'all's legs so many times, y'all just don't trust me. I get it. Oh, he created on the sixth day, so what's his first day of life? Seven. What is it? Day of man started, his first day is rest. That's the way of God. It wasn't work. His first day of living is not, and it's after, it's rest. Are y'all hearing me? We start things from our rest in Him. We do things from our resting in Him. And that's us saying, okay, it's not left up to me. It's left up to Him, but here I am. Rest. Everybody say rest. So here's the thing about rest. And then he goes on, he says, this mountain will be established as the chief of mountains. In other words, all the other mountains are all the other ways that are beneath him. Matter of fact, he's saying that this mountain will be the chief of mountains. In other words, other mountains will be his footstool. And we are the mountain. The church that I'm building, all these other things will be the church's footstool. He's under my feet. Y'all remember that song? He's under my feet. He's under my feet. Am I talking to Satan? Is under my feet.
That's right.
See, that's just not singing. That's a reality. I went to the enemy's camp. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. Satan is under my feet. We'll sing that song and go out there, and all of a sudden, we're imprisoned. He said, nope. The church that I'm building is going to be way above all of that. The church that I'm building, all of these others, will be the footstool of my church. Matter of fact, we'll be able to crush things under our feet. He said, that's the church that I'm building. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's the church that I'm building. The forces of hell will not even take it into consideration. Why? But God. Y'all see all of this? But God. And God's going to be using the church. But he says, it will be established. It will be standing in an upright position for God and against evil. Yeah, but you don't know what's going to happen to you. What's the alternative? Amen. Disobey God, and then things are going to happen to you. So he says, my church will be able to stand against the evil of the day. My church will be able to stand for me in the day. In other words, this mountain will tower above everything else that the world has to offer. Matter of fact, it'll tower above so much, it said it will be raised above the hills. This word hills means it'll be raised above all. Hills represents places of worship, false worship. He said this mountain will jet up way above the hills, the places of false worship, and it will be revealed that all these things are false worship, but his will be true worship. He said it will be raised up above all the hills. And then it says, and people and nations will stream to it. What does that mean? This is beautiful. Listen to this. And people will stream to it. That word means, or that passage means, cheerfully assemble. They will cheerfully assemble. They will. Are you happy? Are you? Give me a cheer. You know, not me, but God. Yeah. See, the thing is, they will cheerfully assemble. Oh, what day is it? Sunday. That means I got to get up early. You know, that's not a cheerful. They will cheerfully assemble. The church that I'm building will be cheerful when they say, we're going to come together. We're going to come together. We're going to come together. It might be on a Sunday. It might whatever day it is. We're going to come together. He said they will cheerfully assemble to be enlightened. Did you come today to be enlightened? Was it the purpose? I want to be with God's people, but I want to hear something. I want to see something. I want to see that what God is doing that I can be a part of. Amen. To be enlightened. See, that's what it means. And the nations will come, or they will stream. But nations will be drawn. Nations will come and say, the nations will say this, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and the house of the God of Jacob. What does that mean? When you look at the house of God, why did he bring that up? Because it is Jacob that introduced Bethel. It was he had the dream of the ladder and reaching earth and heaven, angels descending, angels ascending. See, that's open heaven from heaven to earth, and provisions being taken up and down, intercession or prayers going up, provisions coming down. And see, Jesus, the only way that can happen is through Jesus. Jesus is the ladder. So are we properly aligned? What are we climbing? See, the access to heaven is ours. Well, I don't believe that. Well, you don't get to go. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm saying you don't get the access. You know, what you don't believe, you don't experience. Oh, y'all okay with that? Yeah. So he says, look, the house of Jacob, you know, and it shall be called Bethel, the house of God. And why is that? He said, so that he may teach us his ways. That he may, let's go up. This is what people are saying about the church that Jesus is building. This is what people are going to say about the church that Jesus is building. This is what people are going to say about the church that Jesus is building. Come, let's go over there. Let's go hear what is being taught. Let's go get the teaching that we need, that we will be able to walk in his ways, that we'll be able to live in his ways. See, the teaching here, this word teaching means breakthrough teaching. It's actually what teach, breakthrough instructions. Everybody say breakthrough. Breakthrough. Do you need breakthrough instructions? That's what Jesus is giving his church. So we can give others breakthrough instructions. Breakthrough instructions. To be able to go the distance, his ways is destiny and power. Destiny and power. Then he goes on and says this, that we may walk in his paths, that we may carry the course of his prosperous life, that we will carry that for other people. Now that's his church. That's the counter. You want to know what God's up to? God's building a church that won't back down, that won't quit, that won't fail, won't give up, and it will keep on going no matter what hell throws at it. That's what he's building. Are you a part of that? Are you part of that? I'm part of that. I want all of us to be a part of that, that he is building us, that we will, the word part is that mountain, and it's to jet up. I mean, it's going to be so big that people are going to notice the church. People don't notice the church that much now, but a day is coming. I'm telling you, we're in preparation. The day is coming when we are going to be put on that hillside again, and we're going to be put in a place that people are going to stream up to, because we will be the only ones with the answers, because they're His answers. That's what God's up to. That's what Jesus is up to. Well, I just don't know about that. Well, read the Bible. I don't know that it's supposed to, I don't know if it works out that way. Well, you figure another plan and we'll compare it and we'll see at the end who's going to win. See, God's word never fails. This is what He's up to. He's building His church. The ones that He's not building will fall. The ones that are serving man in humanistic ways and trying to make everybody happy instead of bringing them the truth, it won't last. It won't make it. That's not His church. The one He's building will be the one that the Bible said will be a glorious bride. Everybody say glorious bride.
Glorious bride.
Without blemish.
Without blemish.
Without spot. A glorious bride. The word, I got to close. The word build means, I will build. He said, that word means embolden. It means to structurally form, but it also means to embolden. In other words, he will cause His people to have courage and confidence. And no matter what they face in the force of evil, they will still advance. The gates of hell will not prevail, will not overpower my church. And it means absolutely not. It doesn't mean that, there's a small chance. It's a good chance that they won't. No, he said, my church will absolutely not fall to the forces of evil. That's my church that I'm building. I want to be in that. I'm in that. I want to continue to be built in such a way that no matter what comes, it's like the gladiator. He's at the gladiator movie. He said, and he gets together. He said, gentlemen. He said, no matter what comes out of those gates, he didn't know what was coming out of those gates. But no matter what comes out of those gates, we stand a greater chance of surviving or overcoming it by being together as one. I don't know what hell has to offer. I don't know what's coming down the pipe next. I really don't. But I know one thing. His church that He builds won't be overtaken by it. Won't be overwhelmed by it. Are y'all excited about that?
Yes.
I am. I'm excited. I've got so much to say, but I'm like a water hose connected to a fire hydrant. I've got a lot. But anyway, let me share this. What are we facing? I just heard this week, just saw this week, that there are churches, or some churches, not many, but there's some churches that have land and they are growing cannabis, they're growing marijuana, they're growing pot, they're growing weed, whatever you want to say. And they're growing weed in order to get the drug people to come. The first person that asked me, where's that at? We got a drug test waiting on you. No, I'm telling you the truth. I know. Don't come up to me and say, hey, man, where's that church at? No, listen, we can have humor about it right now, but the sadness of it is, it's a reality.
Yes.
That the churches is fallen to a place. Some churches have fallen to a place that's we're going to win them with dope. They'll come. This pastor said, I don't even have to give them guys a pamphlet. So all that is a reality. I know some of y'all are saying, how many acres do we have across the street? It ain't happening. I'm telling you, His church will be smarter than that. His church will be the one that says, we're not going that way. Listen, listen. Whatever you win people with, it's what you have to continue to do to keep them. If you win them with entertainment, you're going to have to have entertainment to keep them. If you win them with the word, you just keep giving the word and you'll keep them. You win them with truth, just keep giving them the truth and you'll keep them. There was a realtor. Where's Pastor Sharp? There was a Christian realtor that actually put Jesus loves you in emails. And this is up in Virginia, in emails. And they're banning her from putting anything about Jesus in her emails. And the board real estate board are harassing her because she's saying something about Jesus or Christ in her email. I'm telling you, Christian liberties are under attack. Don't think, that'll never happen. Well, it's happening. And we've got to be strong enough to say, listen, you decide what you're going to. That's what when they let them boys out of prison, and they said, okay, after they done beat them, brought them up, said, okay, we're going to let you go, but don't speak the name of Jesus anymore. That's our requirement. And the disciples looked at him and said, you decide what you're going to do about that, because we've already decided we cannot help but speak Jesus' name. So whatever y'all going to do, y'all do, because we're going to keep doing what God's telling us to do. That's Jesus' church being built in today's culture. Amen? Yes. Amen. Stand to your feet. Maybe I want to give anybody an opportunity that maybe you've never accepted Christ. Maybe you're unsure that you have Christ in your life. Maybe you just doubt. But you want to today. So if that's you, just lift your hand. Just lift your hand if you're not really sure. God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else? If you will come forward, Brother Doug, if you'll just come up. And if you raise your hand, you come forward, and we'll make sure you make sure today. Anybody else? In the back? Oh, offering, I forgot. Okay. All right, as he does that, what we're going to do is I want the ushers to bring plates up here. We're going to sow into these people that are going on this mission trip. So you just ask God. Listen. I know we're taking up for a van. Forgo that today. Just forget that today. Let's sow into these people that are going to go make a difference in Mexico. Just ask the Lord what it is you're supposed to give. Just come up and put it in the offering plate. And at that, you're free to go. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your provision. We thank you for your people. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Jesus, that you are building your church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against us, will not overwhelm us. So, Father, in Jesus' name, cause your people to prosper as they follow you. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen. Just bring it up and drop it off, and you're free to go, guys. I hope you got something out of today.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.